live in a culture that at best gives us very mixed messages about youth and old age. On the one hand, we hear often people referring to young people as our future. You are our future. And it is said with great hope and great responsibility. At the same time, though, we realize that many of our institutions are led by and controlled by people who are older. So, for example, the average age of a U.S. senator, you might be interested to know, is 60, which means many of them are way beyond 60. That's a mixed message. Another example of that would be that young people look to older people and with great respect and awe say, "You were the ones who fought for civil rights, for women's equality. You were the ones who really changed our culture as we know it." And on the other hand, we'll say, "But we're doing things differently now. We don't need to march or protest or do things the way you did it. We have our own way of doing it." We hear in our culture that older people are being pushed aside and literally put into institutions, homes, isolated, alone. We hear that youth is idolized, that everything about our culture serves youth. And so we constantly flop back and forth between these messages related to what it means to be old and what it means to be young. And the young are frustrated and the old are frustrated. And we live in a culture that is full of mixed messages about both of these things. What we all know to be true is that age is no indicator of wisdom or folly. Age is no indicator of spiritual depth or shallowness. Age is no indicator of how well someone loves one's neighbor. So we need to be careful as a church community about how we are relating to, how we are looking at youth and old age. We need to be careful that we are not dismissing either one. We need to be careful that we are always looking for the wise ones among us, knowing that age is no indicator. So it's interesting that today we have this story about Simeon and Anna. It is a bit random, I have to say. So we've been, remember, in the stable, and there were different characters. The Gospel of Luke is the one we've been in this season. There are different characters in Luke that show up in the story of the Christ child being born. And there is no mistake or accident related to who shows up in this story. So we have them all gathered in the stable, and then Mary and Joseph leave with the baby Jesus. And in our story, they are fulfilling their religious obligation. They already fulfilled their civic obligation. They went to register for the census, and now they are fulfilling their religious or spiritual obligation, they have taken Jesus to the temple where he will be named and where he will be dedicated to God, in this case through circumcision. It appears the author of Luke is trying very hard to establish that Jesus came from a very faithful Jewish family. And so right here in the beginning, in infancy, Jesus is identified as faithful Jew. And in this narrative, we have old Simeon and old Anna. Now, they are not married to each other, though many people think so because they're mentioned together. We hear that Anna is a widow, has been for many, 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 many years, has devoted her life to praying and fasting in the temple. And Simeon, too, is a wise one, at least in this story. And so when Jesus shows up in the temple as an infant with his parents, the Holy Spirit comes to Simeon and says, "This is the one you've been waiting for. Go and see." So Simeon goes to the temple, takes a look at Jesus, and is filled with song. "Surely this is the one who was sent to save." Now, Simeon also spoke a hard word to Mary and said, this one is going to be opposed. This one is going to cause a sword to go through your heart. This one. But his song was a song of hope, because in Jesus, he believed that hope was realized, and he spoke that hope. Anna did the same thing. Anna is called a prophetess in some versions. She was able to see Jesus and speak to all those who would listen about the hope that she believed Jesus represented. This is all we ever hear about Simeon and Anna. There's nothing else about them that we read about. There's nothing that came before. There's no leading up to who they were. They just appear. They speak these words of hope, these two old ones, and then they exit the stage. So why were they included in the story? That's the question for us. Why were these two old ones important in the story of Jesus? Now, as we think about that question, I want to take you back for a minute to when I was in seminary, which was a while ago now. One of the things that we were taught in seminary was to be able to identify in each congregation that we served in who the matriarch and the patriarch might be. It was taught to us that it was very important to identify these people. Who is the matriarch? Who is the patriarch? Now, most of us who were in seminary, and so now are pastors and have been for many years, would say, we were given a warning in seminary about the matriarchs and patriarchs. Once we identified them, we were also encouraged to figure out whether they were up to evil or good. Now, those were our words. Those were not the words our professors used. And this is something that also comes up in interim pastor training. Have you identified the matriarch and the patriarch yet? I thought about that a lot. I served my first two congregations that I served in were congregations that were experiencing a great deal of conflict. And in one of them, I've told you a little bit about it before, one of them was a 1,000-member congregation. I was serving as an associate pastor, and there was a great deal of conflict happening in the congregation. Now, at one point, the conflict got so bad that the session voted to hire a consultant from the Alban Institute which at that time was well known for helping congregations through conflict. So we hired an Alban Institute consultant, and he came in, and his job was to interview as many people as possible and then to observe the dynamics of what was going on. So he interviewed all the session members. He interviewed a variety of other people in the congregation, interviewed staff members, and began to try to get a picture of what was causing the conflict. So in the end of his work, his recommendation to the session was that we needed to find a way to take some of the power back from the patriarch and the matriarch. Well, what he may or may not have realized was that the patriarch was a session member at the time. And so the patriarch was able to convince the session that this guy was kind of a quack and we really shouldn't give much credence to what he said. And so really what needed to happen was the pastor needed to leave. The senior pastor just needed to be asked to leave. Well, people didn't really go for it, but in the end what happened was all of the pastors on staff decided to leave by choice. I think part of it was they didn't want to wait to be asked. They just all decided they should leave. I was one of them. And so what was interesting is eventually in that congregation, the patriarch and the matriarch did have some of their power removed. And now, which is many years later, the congregation is doing fairly well. They did lose 700 members in the process. So they are now a congregation that is a little bit smaller than we are at Montclair. So it was something that we were taught in seminary to pay close attention to, the matriarch and the patriarch, because, as we know, because we are all part of families as well, sometimes matriarchs and patriarchs can be the most amazing people and completely benevolent. And sometimes that is not the case. So it started me thinking, as I was looking again at Anna and Simeon and thinking about matriarchs and patriarchs, I wonder if we here at Montclair have anything like a matriarch or patriarch. Now, here's how you know. How you know is, if there's a big decision to be made, and you think to yourself, oh, I wonder what so-and-so is going to think about that, that might be a matriarch or patriarch. Not necessarily, but it might be. If you can look back through history and see that a matriarch or a patriarch has had consistent influence, then you also might be able to identify a person like that. Not every congregation has a matriarch and patriarch. So it's worth asking now and then, is there somebody that we tend to look toward for either approval or to see what does this person think or say, or to see, especially as new things are happening, is this person okay with it, not okay with it? So it's worth asking that question now and then. Now, again, if you can identify a matriarch or patriarch, it doesn't necessarily mean that something needs to be done about them. Because half of it is just recognizing, oh, we have a matriarch, or oh, we have a patriarch. In my marriage to J.E., it took her some years to figure out that my dad wants to be the patriarch in our family. And so J.E. came into our family as a fully functioning adult and didn't quite understand why my dad yielded as much power as he did. And finally, just within the last few years, the word patriarch was used, and the light went on for her, and she said, oh, now I get it. And so they have struggled a little less than they did in the first few years. By understanding the position, it changes sometimes the interactions. Now, part of why I think Simeon and Anna were included in this story is that they are functional matriarch and patriarch. And here's what they have to teach us. They were two people who saw with their hearts. They were old, and so you can just imagine what their eyesight was like, right? It's very difficult to have perfect eyesight when one is old. Some of you may relate to that. They had the ability to see with their hearts, and they saw deeply. They also did not wield any power. That's something we can learn from them. They did not have any decision-making ability. They did not hold special positions in religious circles. They were servants like anyone else, though extremely wise. So they have something to teach us about that. That lack of the need to use or be in power in any way. They also taught us something else. One of the ways you know if there happens to be a matriarch or patriarch, which I'm not saying there is, because I'm not sure I've identified a matriarch or patriarch. But if there is, one of the questions to ask is, of what are they speaking to us about? Because Simeon and Anna, they spoke about hope. They were not speaking a message of complaint or criticism or the way things used to be or how they should be. They were speaking a message of hope. For all these years, we have held on to hope, and this is what hope looks like. That's the message they spoke. And that is part of how you can know whether someone has the ability to see or not. Are they speaking anything about hope? People who let the Spirit lead them are people who will speak of hope regardless of what the circumstances are. Don't you know these two lived through some very difficult times. Simeon and Anna, old. Anna, who was only married for 7 years and then widowed and spent the rest of her life in the temple praying. She knew something about life. And still, the wisdom, the seeing that she was able to do was being able to identify the hope and call other people to it. So part of what we learn from them is part of what we can look for as we're trying to find the ones who are wise. Age is no indicator of wisdom. Age should never be dismissed either. On either end, our job is to look for the ones among us who are wise. Who are they? Who are the wise ones in this congregation? Who are the ones that you would say, that's somebody who really sees with their heart? That is somebody who is led by the Spirit and who sees in a way that most of us do not see. It is time we identify those people if we haven't already. Who are the ones among us who can see? This is a year that we want to identify those people. And friends, we want to listen to those people. The ones who have that wisdom that comes from such a deep place. Who are they? How can we be open to listening to them? May this be a year that we identify them and listen to them. Amen.